Thank you so much.
I love science. Thank you so much for coming out this evening as we begin Rosh Chodesh Kislev. And it's been a tough summer for Klal Yisrael. It's been an especially tough week for Klal Yisrael on in many different areas, many different connections to what happens in Eretz Yisrael. And this evening, I'd like to discuss a very difficult subject, a very hard and painful subject, and that is dying on Kiddush Hashem. And what are the parameters of dying on Kiddush Hashem? And really, what is different about someone who has the choice, who's given the choice between, you know, go against the Torah and give up your life, versus someone who is never given that opportunity. Someone who is killed, murdered in cold blood, simply for being a Jew, but doesn't have the choice, was never given the option to leave Judaism or to do something against the Torah or to give up their life. And do we consider that action, someone simply being murdered for being a Jew, do we consider that a death al Kiddush Hashem? And at the end, we'd like to tie it into Hanukkah and perhaps a message that we can all take away from. Rabbi Eliezer Melamed, who is a Rosh Yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael, writes in his Pinyan Halacha on the Halachos regarding Eretz Yisrael the following story about Rav Gusman, who is the Rosh Yeshiva of Netzach Yisrael in Rechavia. Many of us might have davened in Netzach Yisrael in Rechavia visiting Eretz Yisrael. So before it was a shul popular for American and their week in their yearly destinations to Eretz Yisrael, it was a yeshiva. And Rabbi Alman, who is the Nobel laureate professor who won the Nobel laureate for Israel regarding his theories in game theory, so he had a son who in a particularly fierce combat fell in battle. Rabbi Alman, Rabbi Professor Alman's son fell in battle. And Rabbi Gusman, who was a Rebbe to Rabbi Alman, mobilized the yeshiva, and all the students joined him in performing the mitzvah of burying the dead. And at the cemetery, Rabbi Gusman was very agitated. The students could see that at the burial of Professor Alman's son, Rabbi Gusman was very upset. He was very unsettled by what was going on. And he surveyed the rows and rows and rows of young men, soldiers who had died defending Eretz Yisrael. And on the way back from the cemetery, Rabbi Gusman turned to another passenger in the car and said, "Kulam Kadoshim." Everyone at the cemetery was holy. Every single body lying there was holy. And another passenger questioned Rabbi Gusman and said, "Even the soldiers who are not from when they die, people who are so far away from Torah Mitzvot, they're still holy?" And Rabbi Gusman said, "Every single one of them is Kadosh." Rabbi Yisrael Meir Lau tells a story that's recorded in Rav Tzvi Rimon's Halacha Mimekoda Tzava, regarding halachos of the army. That as a student in Kol Torah, in Yerushalayim, so many people would approach the Rosh Yeshiva of Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, and they would ask Rosh Shlomo Zalman Auerbach regarding, can they leave Limud HaTorah, can they leave their studies in the yeshiva, to go visit the Kivrei Tzadikim up in Meiron, up in Sfat, in Tiberia, where all the great Tzadikim in Eretz Yisrael are buried. And Rosh Shlomo Zalman Auerbach said, it's better to stay in yeshiva, and you should study Torah. So the student asked Rosh Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, is there no time that I can go? There's no area during the time, during the day, take off a day to go daven by these Kivrei Tzadikim? So Rosh Shlomo Zalman said to him, if you want to go pray at Kivrei Tzadikim, you don't have to go up north. You don't have to go to Tiberia. You don't have to go to Tzfat. You don't have to go to Meiron. Right across the street, on Har Herzl, where the soldiers are buried, there are tons and tons and tons of Kivrei Tzadikim. Those are enough Tzadikim that you can go and daven over there. You don't need to go to other places and be mevatel Torah. All these people who fell at Kiddush Hashem clearly are tzaddikim. And we have a popular belief that when a Jew is killed by a guy, when a Jew is killed by a non-Jew for being a Jew, it's considered a Kiddush Hashem. But why? Where does this come from? Do we have a source of this in Chazal? Do we have a source of this in Rishonim? And it seems to be unclear. And Rav Shach, in his Mechtavim, in many, many letters regarding people who are killed by goyim, says very clearly that such a person is a kadosh. Such a person died al Kiddush Hashem. The Torah in Parshas Ha'azinu says, "Harninu goyim amok hidam avadav yakum v'nakam yashiv l'tzarav v'chiper ad maso ima." That Hashem will avenge those who are killed, and there'll be a kapara in the land for those who are killed. And the Sifri in Parshas Ha'azinu says that when a goy kills a Jew, there's a kapara for this Jew in Olam Haba. There's a full kapara for whatever he did wrong when a guy kills a Jew. And the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf and Zion and Aleph says that there's a difference between a person who dies without doing tshuva and a person who dies without doing tshuva, but is chayiv misa by Beis Din. And the Gemara says that the person who doesn't die naturally, the person who is killed in a moshinadik way, a different type of way, not a natural death, that person gets a greater kapara than the person who dies naturally. There's something about being killed that gives a person a great kapara. The pasuk in Tehillim says, "Nosnus nivlas avadecha, maichol of hashemayim basar chasadecha l'chayos aretz." That the enemies of the Jews give the corpse of your avadim as food. Our enemies take our corpse of the Jews and they are the avadim, the servants of the Kadosh Baruch Hu, and they give it as food to the animals, the birds, and they give the flesh of your chasidim, these Jewish people, to the beasts of the land. So the Gemara says, what's the difference between an Eved and what's the difference between a Chassid? So the Gemara says that Chassidim are Tzadikim and Avadim are the people who are Chayiv Misa, and since they were killed, they're called Avadim. They're very close to Hashem. They're so close as servants to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They have a closer relationship to Hashem since they were killed in a way and they didn't just die naturally. And Abaye rejects this, and he says that because the death of a guy is different than the execution of a Beis Din, a person who's killed by a guy, not according to law, is a greater kapara. And not just a person who's killed by a Beis Din, a person who's killed by a guy is on a higher level, a greater type of, a different type of death, and that person is closer to a Kadosh Baruch Hu in Shemayim. But still we have no sheet in the Gemara saying that simply by being killed for being a Jew, you get some sort of kapara. This is talking about someone who's killed by Beis Din or some type of other situation. There's a tshuva from the Trumas Hadeshen. The Trumas Hadeshen is the famous Rishon that the Rama often quotes. Right? The Trumas Hadeshen didn't really have any questions that were asked to him. He made up all the questions himself so he could have something to write about. That's why the Gematria of Hadeshen, which is 359, is the number of questions that are in his book. Because he made up the questions, so he knew how many he was going to end up with. So the Trumas Hadeshen writes in Reish Mem Hei, in 241, that someone who dies al Kiddush Hashem is a Kodesh. He doesn't explain it, he just says, a person who dies al Kiddush Hashem is Kodesh, is a holy, holy person. And the Sefer Achinuch in Mitzvah Reish Tzadi Vav, in 296, says that the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem is because a person is in this world to serve Hashem. And even a good servant will give up his life. A good servant for the master will give up his life. If you want to show Hashem that you're here to serve him, that means you're prepared to give up your life. Kiddush Hashem only takes place, says the Sefer Achinuch, if you are prepared to give up your life. But according to the Sefer Achinuch, if you were never in a situation you're given the option of either or, give up your life or do this, so then it's not really Kiddush Hashem because you didn't have the choice. We're going to see again and again that Kiddush Hashem seems to mean in the eyes of the Rishonim, you're given a choice. And without choice, maybe it's not Kiddush Hashem. The Smach, the Sefer Mitzvah Sakatan, in Mitzvah Gimel, the third mitzvah, says that people who kill themselves because they don't know if they'll be able to withstand the torture of the Christians when it came to the Crusades, that's considered dying on Kiddush Hashem. They knew they wouldn't be able to give in, and since they had the choice of converting or not, we still consider Kiddush Hashem, even though it technically might have been suicide. In that case, we'll call them Kedoshim Gemurim, says the Smach. These are people who showed their Avas Hashem, their love of Kadosh Baruch Hu, by giving up their lives. Now, what if the Jew is not given a choice about death? A Jew kills in a terrorist attack, or a soldier in that situation? There was no choice. So how can we say that a person didn't have that choice, as the Sefer Achinuch said, or as the Smach said, how can we call that, honestly, a Kiddush Hashem? Where was the Mesiras Nefesh? Where was the person showing that they were willing to give something up if the choice was never presented in front of them? The Ma'arach or Zarua, one of the Rishonim in Simon Yadalad, says that a person who commits an Aveira, that means the Aveira would make him Chayiv Misa. A person's Mechal Shabbos in public, and therefore he would be Chayiv Misa for such an Aveira, and then he is killed by a guy, he gets Kapara. It's as if Hashem sent the guy in a way to give him a Kapara, even though he did something terrible, this death by the guy gives this Jew a sense of Kapara. Now, he says, only someone who dies because of their tzidkus, someone who shows they are righteous, and because they're put in a situation where they have to show their righteousness versus giving up their life. So says the Ma'arach or Zariah, that person is called a kadosh. Not just kapara, but he's elevated to the status of a kadosh, when a person dies as a tzaddik, showing his righteousness and his love for the Torah. The Shas Teshuvas the Maril in Ayin Vav Gimel argues, and he says that from the Gemara Sanhedrin that we saw, that anyone who's killed, even if they're a Rasha, is still considered Kol Yisrael Kedoshim Hain. Even if you're a Rasha and you're given the option and the choice of being killed by a Goy or not, you're still considered Kadosh. So even, it would seem to be, someone who's not from, but they decide to give up their life, and say, you know, we had the case of the journalist, you know, Daniel Pearl, who had this choice in front of him, and he gave up his life in that sense. So even so, even though he might not have been close to Torah and close to Mitzvos, in the same sense, though, he was given the choice, and he's still elevated, in a sense, to this level of Kadosh. The Gemara in Kesuvos, Daf Lamed Zayin Amud Beis, says that you have to choose the least gruesome death for a person. If a person in Yisrael, at least for whatever reason, by Beis Din, you have to give the least gruesome death possible. What's the pasuk? How do we know this? V'hafta l'reicha kamocha. Right? If you yourself, if were in a situation, chas v'shalom, and you wanted to, had to get the death penalty, you would want for yourself to be in the, you know, most pleasant way, if you had to choose. And so too, it comes the same way around when you're choosing the punishment for someone who's chayv misa. So the Shita Mekubetzas there, and the Gemara in Kesuvos asks, a person's being killed by Beis Din is a Rasha. He's so far from Torah Mitzvos. If you did something so bad that a person needs to be, you know, killed by Beis Din, didn't he remove himself from Reyecha, from someone who is part of the Jewish community, right? We have a concept, we know that it's the Chafetz Chaim writes that a person who is removes himself from the Jewish community, there's no Isra of Lashon Hara. He doesn't promote being Lashon Hara, but someone who is not, right, fall under the pasuk of Lo Seilech Rachil Ba'amecha, you should not be a gossip monger among your Reyacha, part of the Jewish community, so then, right, the Isra of Lashon Hara doesn't apply. The Avnei Ezer writes in Yeshuva that V'haftal Reyacha Kamocha, if a person is not Reyacha anymore, not part of the Jewish community as a whole, then technically, according to the letter of the law, not that we advocate this, but according to the letter of the law, the mitzvah doesn't apply anymore. You're not part of Reyacha, you're not part of the Am of the Jewish people. So if a person puts himself in a situation, says the Shita Mekubetzas, that he is so far removed from Jewish people, then why do I care anymore of V'hafta L'Reyacha Kamoch? He's not Reyacha anymore. He's not part of the Jewish people. So the Shita Mekubetzas answers that once a person has been judged for death, and he's been already decided that this person needs to be killed, it's already a kapara. We bring him back in, and his last rites, he's part of the chassidim of the Jewish people, and he's brought back in to the Jewish community. And the above sources would seem to indicate that if a Jew is killed by a goy, and then he returns to being kosher and a chassid, regardless of his previous status. So therefore it would seem that if a Jew is killed by a goy, and he's in this tough situation, even in a car accident, right? A guy kills a Jew, chas v'shalom, in a car accident. Perhaps that's considered kiddush Hashem. He had no intent for what was going on, but that's some form of a kapara, it would seem. And he should be honored. You can zerm a velus for him, even if he's off the derech or anything like that. All the laws would come back together if a person is killed in a derech mishuna, in an unfortunate type of way, not a natural death. Rabbeinu Yonah writes in the Shari Tshuva, in the Shar Dalet, he has a different approach. He says that there's only complete kapara for being killed if there's a vidui before the death. If the person makes a statement that I'm sorry about my averos, but the kapara doesn't work unless you say something about being sorry for averos that were done. And only then he goes to the Olam Haba. So it's clear from this comment of Rabbeinu Yonah that there's only some form of tshuva before the death if the person who is not Shomer, if there was tshuva for the person who wasn't Shomer Torah Mitzvos, or if there wasn't some recognition of something wrong, then according to Rabbeinu Yonah, where do we get the right to say that the person is a Kadosh? Where do we get the right to say that it was Kapara, that everything is, you know, swept away, and we don't care about what's going on, what he did in the past? So we are left with conflicting Shitas and Rishonim, and we're not clear where to go when it comes to, you know, how we view these people. And obviously, we feel a connection to Chas v'Shalom when soldiers are killed, and people are killed in Eretz Yisrael, but where do we have a source to say that this is a Kiddush Hashem? And it's a painful thing to think about, because obviously we want to feel connection to them. But how can we go along and say that this is dying al Kiddush Hashem when it doesn't seem to fit with almost what many of the Rishonim are saying? There's a Gemara in Bava Basra and Daf Yud Amud Beis that says that no one has a standing in Shemayim like those people who are Mekadoshim Shemayim if you were killed by a guy. Anyone who was killed by a guy has a special place in Shemayim. And the Gemara says this refers to those killed in the city of Lud. We'll discuss what happened in the city of Lud momentarily. The Rambam has a letter called the Geres Hashmad, a letter that he wrote to those people who were under conflict and they were in a source, there was a situation where they had to give up their life. And the Rambam in a letter to them says that based on this Gemara, anyone who is killed, Al-Kiddush Hashem, even if he has sins like Yeravam ben Nevat, one of the worst kings in the history of the Jewish people, he is Zocha to Olam Haba, simply by being killed by a guy. And what's his proof? It's this Gemara in Bava Basra. What happened in the city of Lud? And that's the Gemara in Tainus in Daf Yud Ches. So the story is as follows. That Trajan, who was the Roman general at that time, so he harshly was persecuting the Jews. And one day, so his daughter was found murdered in the city of Lud. The Roman general's daughter was found murdered. And they didn't know the identity of the murderer. And they said, the only enemies I have are the Jews. It must have been a Jew who killed my daughter. And therefore he decreed that all the Jews in Lud, where the daughter was found, had to be killed. So there was two brothers who lived in Lud. One was Lulinus, and the other was Pappus. Two brothers. And these tzaddikim stepped forward, and they told him, we are the ones who killed your daughter. When it was clear to everyone that they were not the ones who touched the girl, had nothing to do with her. And he knew that they were, and the general knew that these two brothers were not the ones who killed his daughter. And they were only trying to save the rest of the Jews. But he accepted their confession, and he killed these two brothers, freeing the rest of the city. So it appears from here that the Rambam understands that someone who is moser nefesh for the Jewish people, a soldier who goes out to fight and is standing up for the rest of Klal Yisrael, fighting for those in Eretz Yisrael who cannot fight, fighting for us who are sitting here in America who are not fighting, this person who goes out and is moser nefesh and stands up to save the Jewish people, that has a special place in Olam Haba because he's putting himself on the line. Regardless of what he was before, remember what the Rambam said, even if it was like Yeravam ben Nevat, no matter, and I'm sure there is no soldier, there's no chayal in Sahal who's like Yeravam ben Nevat. So Kal Vachomer, these great people who go out and are moser nefesh for the Jewish people, they clearly, says the Rambam, the Geres Hashmad, have a special place in Olam Haba. The Pella Yoetz, which is an encyclopedic work of different ideas of Machshava, so he writes regarding the aspect of Hatzalah, of saving someone. He says, there are many people who are empty of mitzvos. There are many people in the world who, you know, unfortunately, don't have so many zechuyos. And he says, but a person who saves the lives of the Jewish people and goes out and stands up to protect the Jewish people, this person can change the scales in Shemayim. A person who goes out and acts in such a way. The Gemara in Tainus Daf Kuf Beis Amud Aleph says that the Baroka Chaza would frequently go visit Eliyahu HaNavi. He would have little meetings with Eliyahu HaNavi. Mir Soshem Bayas. So one day he was in the market and he asked Eliyahu HaNavi, is there anyone here in the market that's a Ben Olam Haba? Is there anyone here who acts in an especially dignified way that will get them right into Olam Haba? So he points over to a guy who was wearing not particularly Jewish clothing, wasn't wearing any tzitzis, did not look like a Jew. And he went over him and said, what's your deal? What do you do that makes you so special that Eliyahu HaNavi says that you're a Ben Olam Haba? So he tells him that I work in a jail, and I make sure that the women are kept safe in the jail, that no one harms them, that the men stay away from the women, and he goes into dangerous areas, and he sees what the Goyim are planning to do, and he's a bit of a spy, and he always has his tabs on what's going on in the non-Jewish world to make sure that the Jews in his community are always going to be safe. And he dresses this way so that he can infiltrate and see what's going on. Such a person is a Ben Olam Haba, even a person who acts outwardly not observant, who seems to go out in the world and not acting in the right way, but he's trying to save the Jewish people. Such a person, says the Gemara in Tainus, is a Ben Olam Haba, a person who has a special place in Olam Haba. Rav Naftali Bachrach was a Mekubal in the 17th century. He has a sefer called the Emek HaMelech, and he says that when a Jew is killed by a guy, even if the Jew is not a tzaddik, and he was not killed with a proper judgment, this person has a special place in Olam Haba. And in the future, he says, an amazing, amazing line, Hashem will dress in red meaning he will wear the clothing of revenge. Red, when a Kadosh Baruch Hu dresses in red, it means that he is stained in the blood of Jews who gave up their lives. That Hashem will dress in red in a sense, and he will take revenge on the behalf of this individual. Because he was killed in this manner, his neshama will shine and grow even though he did not originally have any Meisim Tovim. When a person is killed by a guy, even if he has nothing in his pocket, Hashem will stand up for him, and at the end of days, he will take out retribution. 100% Hashem yikam damo. It's a promise, says Rav Naftali Bachrach, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will repay the sins that were done to this person for having been killed because he was a Jew. Rav Yehoshua Aronson is a post-it who came to Eretz Yisrael after the Holocaust. And he has beautiful, beautiful shas, and she was called the Dvar Yehoshua. And as the custom of many Rabbanim who survived the Holocaust and were able to write about it afterwards, in the introductions to their Svarim, when they wrote individual Svarim, they would write about their experiences and their Hashkafa, and what they took away from the Shoah and how it affected them. So he wrote a sefer called the Alei Meruros, the Bitter Leaves, about his experience in the Holocaust. And he quotes a comment of the Shla HaKadosh in Hishara Osios. He says something remarkable, that he says that if a guy kills a Jew for a personal reason, if a guy kills a Jew because, unfortunately, they got into a fight over money, but as long as you're being a Jew, so in that case, that's not considered dying on Kiddush Hashem, because the guy had nothing to do with the Jew, knowing that he was Jewish. But if a guy kills a Jew because he's a Jew, and the guy can't stand that there's another Jew in the world, and he wants to take out his feelings against all Jews, against this single individual, then this person is considered dying al Kiddush Hashem, because he was a Jew. Even if the guy doesn't offer the Jew to violate any mitzvos, he doesn't say, you have to eat this hamburger, this cheeseburger, I'm going to kill you, or he doesn't say anything else, he just says, you're a Jew, and he shoots him on the spot, and that's it. He says, Rav Yehoshua Aronson, that is clearly dying on Kiddush Hashem. And he explains that the nations of the world know that we are the Am Hashem. They look at us and they say there is something different about us, there is something special about us, there is something unique about us, and any attack on us is an attempt to destroy the eternal Jew, he writes. It's a comment that reflects the idea of Rabbi Soloveitchik. Rabbi Soloveitchik would often say in his drushas that there's no one Jewish community. We, through the generations, because you knew your grandparents, who knew their grandparents, who knew their grandparents, going back to Moshe Rabbeinu, we are all one klal. We are an eternal Jewish community that is never broken. It also hints to something that Hitler wrote in his Mein Kampf regarding why he wanted to destroy the Jews. Hitler wrote that the Jewish people represent going against nature. Because nature means that the strongest destroy the weak, survival of the fittest. That's how nature should work. And he says, the Jews undermine everything that I stand for. The Jews are always having rachmanis on people and helping those who are downtrodden. He says, within the Jews' DNA is this sense of knowing right and wrong and always doing what is moral. And Hitler wrote, moral is not what I want the world to be. I want the world to be a place of might makes right. And therefore, that's why Hitler wanted to kill every single last Jew, because he wanted to wipe out that piece of DNA from the world, going back to how many grandparents it would take. And this is the same idea, that the Goyim look at the Jews and they see something that makes us the Am Hashem, and they want to destroy that. There's an amazing, amazing essay from the Slonim Rebbe. We might be familiar with the Slonim Rebbe from his famous Nesiva Shalom, his works of Chassidus on the Parsha, which are very popular. He wrote a sefer called Haruga Alecha. Haruga Alecha is a play on words from one of the Hoshanos that we say during Sukkos. And he writes that most of the people killed in the Shoah were not aware of even the concept of Kiddush Hashem, or even that they were going to die. When a Nazi came up behind them and shot them in the back, they had no idea what was about to happen. They weren't aware of what was going on. And to compare, unfortunately, you know, this week what happens in Harnof, who knows what happens in that shul and what the details were, but who knows how many moments they had to think about what was going to happen and what was going on behind it there. But the chance to think about the concept of dying on Kiddush Hashem, do they have the moments to contemplate what was about to happen? So he says that they didn't have a choice. And therefore, he finds it difficult to say that they're dying in the same manner of Kiddush Hashem as those who were given choices in the past. This is not the classic case of the Crusades or the Inquisition that we had in Jewish history, where a person was given a choice and they had to choose between right and wrong. So he offers a tremendously powerful idea, which also is something that we personally can attach onto, that we can take from and use ourselves to grow. He explains that there are people who prepare their entire lives and their neshamos to live Al Kiddush Hashem and to die Al Kiddush Hashem. We learn the halachos of Kiddush Hashem. We think about what would happen if I was in a situation. Would I act the same way? Would I have the strength, you know, to cry out Shema Yisrael? Would I be that type of person? There are those people who prepare themselves their entire lives to be able to be Moser Nefesh, like Rabbi Akiva, who said that, when am I going to reach this point in life where I'll die b'chol nafshecha, within my entire neshama? And he says there are people who don't have that chance. There are people who have the opportunity to do the mitzvah, but they lack the proper kavana. There are people who are put in the situation to actually give up their lives, but they didn't have a moment to think about what was going to happen. Or they didn't know that there was going to be a bullet who was going to take away their, that there was going to be a bullet that was going to take away their lives, you know, a second ago. They never had the proper intentions to know what was going to happen. So he says that these two aspects of the body giving up its life and the neshama cleaving to a Kadosh Baruch Hu and wanting to give up its life for the sake of Hashem, they come together with the entirety of the Jewish people. That we, who sit here, and we daven b'chol nafshecha, when am I going to give up my neshama for a Kadosh Baruch Hu? And those who don't have the chance, we connect our neshamos with their guf. Throughout all of Klal Yisrael, we come together like two pieces of a puzzle, and they click together. That when Klal Yisrael as a whole wants to be Moser Nefesh, and there are those people who do it, the entire unity of the Jewish people comes together in order to fulfill the mitzvah in its most perfect way. And therefore, those who are unfortunately killed by Kiddush Hashem, but they didn't have the intent, Hashem combines, says the Slana Rebbe, the guf and the neshama of the mitzvah for all the Jewish people together in order to bring that perfect mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem together at one moment in time. And that is an idea I want to return to momentarily when we get to Hanukkah. There's a sefer called B'chol Nafshecha, which discusses the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem. And he quotes from Rav Israel Orbach, Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach's son, saying that perhaps those who died in the Shoah, perhaps those who die in that fashion of like a terrorist attack, might not necessarily be the classic definition of Kiddush Hashem. And that also seems to be the understanding of Rav Dessler in Michtav Meliyahu in a letter to his son in Chelek Gimel on page Shin Mem Ches. But then there's also Rav Chaim Kanievsky, who writes in a number of places that that is truly a form of Kiddush Hashem, even though your person's not given the choice. And Rav Ashri in Hashanah Tshuvos Mimamakim, the famous Tshuvos from the Holocaust, in Chelek Beis Dalid, writes from Rav Elchanan Wasserman, the famed Talmud of Chafetz Chaim, who trained his students that when the time would come to be able to say the bracha of dying al Kiddush Hashem. So it's clear that Rav Elchanan Wasserman knew what was impending, and still he said, we're going to be dying al Kiddush Hashem, even though there was no choice given to those boys in Baranovich who Rav Elchanan Wasserman passed away with. Regardless of all the technical issues that we discussed this evening, it's clearly become the minhag and the decision of Klal Yisrael, right? The Gemara Mesachim says that Klal Yisrael as a whole, as a group, are B'nai Nevi'im, that with our psyche together, we can establish the minhag of how we conduct ourselves. And therefore, it's clear that Klal Yisrael as B'nai Nevi'im, being able to tap into the Ratzon Hashem, has decided that these people who did give up their lives, even though they might never have the choice at that moment in time, and they were killed in a brutal fashion, it is surely a form of Kiddush Hashem. So the message for us sitting here, out of danger, we're sitting in a place where we're not directly in danger, as like our brothers in Eretz Yisrael are, is that we need to live lives of Kiddush Hashem. We need to be those people that if we were in that situation, we would be prepared to. And so that, as the Son Rebbe said, we can combine our neshamos with the guf of those people who unfortunately give up their lives. And that means we need to be mekadosh ourselves in the way we daven. Are we davening in that way that if we had that chance, would this be our last tefillah? Why can't, it's hard, but maybe every tefillah should be that way. Or once in a while, once a week, once a month, Rosh Chodesh, that tefillah should be that tefillah we would daven if we had one more tefillah to go. And are we mekadosh Shem Shemayim in the way we speak with those around us, obviously, when we're out on the street, when with our family, when with our children, with our spouse? Are we mekadosh Shem Shemayim in the way we speak to others? And the way we spend our time? Are we spending our time in a way of Kiddush Hashem? If no one was around, and it's just us and Hashem, Are we being Mekadosh Shem Shemayim? Are we infusing Kedusha into the way we act? And what about the way we spend our money? Are we spending our money in a way that is a form of Kiddush Hashem, that people see how we spend our money, how we spend our time, how we spend our resources? Are we bringing Kiddush Hashem into the world in the way we do that? Well, Alexander Ziskind is the famed author of the Yesod V'Shorash Avodah, which is a Kabbalistic Perush on the Siddur. And he's a tremendously, tremendously unique personality. He was close to the Vilna Gaon. And constantly, throughout his work, Yesod V'Shorash Avodah, he's constantly telling the reader, at this point in davening, a person should imagine in their minds how you would be Moser Nefesh. Think to yourself, for 3 seconds, 5 seconds, 10 seconds, in the middle of davening, b'chol nafshecha, at this certain point, how would it be? Train yourself in your mind. How would it be if I had to give up my life? Create that image in your head to think, could I do it? Would I be prepared to do it? Would it be a Kiddush Hashem? Constantly ingraining that idea into our thoughts. That obviously, where it's not something that we are necessarily looking forward to. Might not be in the level of Rabbi Akiva, you know, running to give up our lives. But if we had to, would we be prepared to? Would we be able to? Have we thought about it? Is it something that is reasonable that we could think about? And especially with our kavanos of thinking about that, and the people in Eretz Yisrael, and the people who are giving up our lives, to be mekayim this idea of the son of Rebbe, to take our neshamos and combine them with the guf of the bodies of those people who actually are being Moser Nefesh and fulfilling the mitzvah of Eretz Yisrael, whether it be in the army, whether it be in living in dangerous areas, and just really pushing themselves to remain in Eretz Yisrael. Chanukah is a tremendously unique holiday because it is the only holiday out of all the holidays in the Torah where the Jews were given a decision between Torah or not Torah. Purim, there was no option. Haman wanted to destroy all the Jews. Pesach, there was no option. Paro wanted to destroy all the Jews. Chanukah really is the holiday of Mesiras Nefesh. It is the holiday where a person has a choice in front of them. Yes, do I keep the Torah? No, do I move away from the Torah? And that makes it a very, I think, appropriate holiday for what we're discussing this evening. Rosh Shlomo Kluger writes in his Koheles Yaakov on Chanukah that this is why we make the bracha on seeing the menorah, even though it might not be our menorah. Because he says, on Chanukah, what happened was, not every Jew was in danger. It wasn't every single Jew who was caught. Jews could have gone into hiding. Jews could have tricked the Greeks. Jews could have, not kept the Torah. Not every Jewish neshama was in danger during Chanukah. Only those people who were very public and vocal and stood up outside and made a declaration of Mila Shem Elai, who's going to be with me, who's going to go before HaKadosh Baruch Hu and show the world what Hashem and the Torah wants, those people were really the people who were being Moser Nefesh. So says Rosh Shlomo Kluger, Chanukah is where we look at those great tzaddikim who are Moser Nefesh and we make a bracha on the menorah looking at someone else's menorah. It's a holiday where we recognize and show, look at those great people who are Moser Nefesh. I might not have been Moser Nefesh. I might not have had that strength to do it myself, but there are those people over there, inside the glass window, inside that house, there's a menorah, and that's over there. It might not be me, but I can respect someone else who was Moser Nefesh, and therefore, I can make a bracha on someone else's menorah. It's a holiday where we recognize the Mesiras Nefesh of a tzaddik who's greater than me, someone who pushed themselves further than I did. And he says that makes it a very unique mitzvah. And he quotes the pasuk that references that many people recite when it comes to Chanukah. The pasuk in Tehillim says that Hotzia mimasker nafshi, the Kadosh Baruch Hu will the person take comes out of their soul lahodos es shimcha, to thank Hashem. Ki achtiru tzaddikim titigmol alai, that a Kadosh Baruch Hu crowned the tzaddikim, but he was gomel alai, but he saved my life. I look at the tzaddikim and say, a Kadosh Baruch Hu crowned them, because they were Moser Nefesh, but I was saved. And when we look to Eretz Yisrael, and we see the people are being Moser Nefesh, and the quality of people are being Moser Nefesh, and the tzaddikim who are pushing themselves there, we look at them and say, yachtiru, Hashem crowns them. They are pushing themselves, they're being Moser Nefesh, and even though we might not be putting ourselves out there, we can respect and honor them when it comes to Chanukah. I can look at their menorah. I can look at the menorah in Eretz Yisrael and say, I can make a bracha on that. I can make a bracha on that person's Mesiras Nefesh, even though I myself might not have it. But I constantly work on myself, I work on my midos, I work on my Kiddush Hashem, to make sure that my neshama can combine with the guf of a person who has to be Mesiras Nefesh, as the Salam Rabbi said. And therefore, I also respect those people, says Rosh Hashanah Kluger, who are being Moser Nefesh, and I honor them, and I make a brach on their menorah. Ki achtiru tzadikim ki tzimu alai, that we crown the tzadikim, even though Hashem has been merciful to us.
Thank you.